It's a couple of minutes after 8 o'clock, a Monday edition of the Mornings with Ed Show, and there's the kaleidoscope that I love to see. The sun coming up over the hill, setting off this beautiful kaleidoscope on the canvas, and just in time, because there's an artist in studio with us, and of course, Frankie Duchesne, Sawdust Art Festival, marketing director, in with us this morning as well. Ryan Gourley, I've been waiting for this guy for some time. Hello, Frankie, how are you?
Good morning, Ed. Good. Doing well. How are you?
Great. Thank you for setting us up with Ryan this morning. Ryan Gourley, I've been looking forward to this conversation for a while, man. How you doing?
How's it? Doing good.
You doing all right?
Yeah.
All right. So you've been at the Sawdust since 1970?
Yeah, that's right.
Hold on. You know what? Hold on. I'm not getting a sound from your mic, so don't go anywhere. And it's me. It's the board here. It's not you at all. So that mic is, there we go. All right. Good. Now.
How's that?
Oh, that's so much better. You know, it's a better world when we can hear the voice of Ryan Gourley, man.
There you go.
All right. So 1970 at Sawdust. Give us an idea of what that was like compared to what we see now when we walk into Sawdust.
For one thing, there was no fence. It was free to get in, and it was quite a freak show then.
Now, freak show. Describe what the freak show is.
We were just a bunch of artists that were not able to get into the other festival because it was judged. It was juried, so they decided to have a festival where anybody could be in as long as you made your own art.
Right. And at the time, you were making leather goods, and you were doing ceramics and stuff. Was that the first form of art that you started working on?
Yeah, that and tie-dyes.
Tie-dye was big in 1970.
Yeah.
Yeah. You still got any of that stuff? Did you keep anything that you made, or did you gift it away?
Yeah, I still do it. I have some shirts that I do that are like tie-dye, a little different, right. But people insist that I do them, so I do them just because everybody asks for them.
Right. Frankie, tell me the vibe that this guy brings to Sawdust. Tell me about the vibe that he and others, other artists that have been there for a while, the Doug Millers. Tell me about that vibe.
You know, as you mentioned earlier, Ryan has been in the show since 1970, and Ryan is a constant staple on the ground. Doesn't matter what time of year it could be during the summer, it could be during the winter show, it could be in the off season. Ryan's face is ubiquitous. I mean, you see him everywhere at the Sawdust. You see him always in his booth making art. And one thing about Ryan is really cool is he's kind of like he's what I would call a multimedia artist. Would you say that, Ryan, about yourself?
Yeah, I would.
So
say.
His art really expands, not just painting and like 2D, but 3D as well. And he obviously he started with ceramics and leather goods. And thing about Ryan is he can make anything, anything, and you'd be amazed at the things that he can do. You think that he's just a painter, because mostly in the booth during the summer and during the winter shows, he primarily sells paintings.
Right.
Right, Ryan?
Yeah, right now.
Yeah, but I think, but what's amazing about Ryan is Ryan does installations, he does large-scale mural work.
Right. He did the mural that's out in front of Sawdust right now.
He did. He actually did the mural that is currently standing on Frontage Road. It's called Where the Canyon Comes Alive. That was by Ryan Gourley.
Tell me about that mural specifically. It's beautiful. I know that all of us see it when we go by. Everyone that sneaks by traffic and runs. By the way, sorry for driving so fast on Frontage Road as I'm trying to evade traffic in the afternoon. But tell us about that mural.
Yeah, it's interesting because they approved one design, and as I painted it, it started to change. But when I work, I sort of have to let the piece make itself in a little way. I sort of become more of the instrument of its own will. And it's got a lot of hidden things in it, which is kind of funny because I don't mean to do that. But then eventually it just becomes kind of a fun challenge to hide things in plain sight. So if you look at it long enough, you find a lot of things in it that are in my mind that come out that way.
May I touch on that?
Please.
Yes. Ryan, you did raise a really interesting point about your art. There's always something symbolic I find in his work. You know, it's Like when you, for example, like you mentioned his mural, Where the Canyon Comes Alive. You look at it and it's an incredible abstract, colorful abstract. There's all kinds of interesting parts to it. But if you step closer and you really look into the details, there are hidden words, there are hidden pictures, there's hidden meaning throughout the entire, I mean, that's a 50-foot wall mural,
right.
You know, 8 by 50 feet. And everywhere you look as you get closer, there are little bits that are, I shouldn't probably say this, because it should be permanent. I mean, it's a temporary mural that we have up for 1 year.
Right.
We renew it every single year. And it shouldn't change. It should, once it's approved, that should be it. But one thing about Ryan is Ryan's constantly changing his art. It
right.
doesn't matter if it's a mural. It doesn't matter if it's a painting existing in his booth or a sculpture or even the face of his booth or another part of the grounds even. Ryan is constantly changing things and adding and improving. I wouldn't say improving because his work is great as is, but
right.
he's constantly changing, adding little details.
He grows every day no matter what,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yes, and I imagine he walks past that mural. He probably doesn't want to say this, but I imagine he walks past that mural and every so often he'll add a little bit of it, something new to it that you wouldn't have seen last week.
So it's spectacular, by the way. It's a beautiful mural, and you're right. I do, each time I walk by it or see it, I see something I hadn't seen before.
Mm-hmm.
And it's got to go after a year? I had no idea.
That's it, yes. So right now we're currently, our design competition just closed. We
right.
have a design competition every year
right.
amongst our artists they submit designs for that mural. And so Frontage Road changes every single year. It started in 2016 with
right.
our 50th anniversary. That was our very first mural up. And I didn't know, Ryan, you said earlier it was your idea to have a mural up on Frontage Road.
And Ryan, how do you feel about it being there for only a year? And
I like it. I actually like the idea that there's a whole bunch of murals underneath it. So it's interesting because it's got a strange history because there are murals underneath mine.
Right.
And there is a history of it. So I always think we should, that's a whole creative area there that we could,
okay.
you know, work with. We'd probably make a book that shows all the old murals.
Mm-hmm.
So the guy in 1970 who started with leather goods ends up now doing murals, giant murals and larger sculptures and larger type. How did that progression happen to you? Where did that change happen where you went, you know what, I'm going to leave leather goods and ceramics behind just a little bit and start working on other stuff.
Yeah. My brother and I are both artists. We both kind of grew up together making art. And it's just a challenge for us. You know, we feel like there's something to add to the whole place. This town is funny. It has a history. It was artsy. Then when we came in, it really wasn't so much. And as the years went by, we started making more and more things, and people started getting with us and saying, hey, can you do this, can you do that, and we're like, yeah, you know, I got those. So it's been a challenge, but it's kind of one of those things where we just feel like the town needed art, and I'm just glad now too that there's a lot more public art. There didn't used to be a lot of installations around town, but now there is,
right?
So the town has become more aware of itself.
Right. Are there artists, are there local artists that you admire, that you like, you've got to see their next exhibit, you got to see their next work? Is there an artist like that for you?
Yeah, there's some history down here. Wyland's got some history here. A lot of the bands that play here, people don't realize, there are a lot of musicians come up out of this town.
Right.
And
we have a lot of great musicians in this town. I mean, really, I think we're musically, we're a little overlooked with the great musicians that are through here.
Right. A lot of them did come up out of the sawdust even.
Yeah.
Started playing there. Again, why? Because it's a place where you can access, you know, you can get to the world through the sawdust. It's one of those places where I didn't have to put in an application. I just got a booth and started selling my things. You know, whatever works, you know. You get to make whatever you want. So a lot, you just do it and see what indicates, and then next year try to do it better.
You bring up a good. I'm sorry. Did I cut you off?
Well, I was going to say, Ryan, you and your brother, Rourke, your brother's work in town,
yeah.
and you both had a booth in the sawdust together. Did you start together?
Yeah, we did.
And you raised a family there. Did you meet? You have Kelly, and you have your two kids. I know Amber,
yeah.
and you have your son. But didn't you? Did you meet Kelly on the grounds?
Yeah, she was trying to when they did the toll road, she was working for the Nature Conservancy, and she challenged us to do a painting. So we all got my friends together. We all went out and started painting right out in the highway, and that turned into another whole episode. But it's one of those things where art does, you know, it's a language of its own. It speaks. You can use it as a tool.
And you brought up an interesting point earlier about the musicians in this town and the great music. As you create, whether it's a 2D mural or a 3D sculpture, as you create, do you hear music? Are you listening to music? Does music influence the actual artwork you're creating?
Yeah, it does, actually. I don't know how to explain it, but, you know, it sort of goes in a parallel. My art reflects music, and it reflects our art in a strange way. I don't know how to explain it, but it definitely influences us. And you can kind of see it, actually, if you look at the art. It kind of reminds you of, like, Pink Floyd or whatever.
Right.
So it is one of those things that does that.
And it just happens naturally? Not on purpose, but it's happening naturally as you're putting it together, right?
Yeah, one story I tell about myself is, and I've seen this on TV lately, too. I got hit in the head when I was a kid, and I got hit just right. So my brain works different. I didn't really know that for a long time, and now I realize it. It's how I conceptualize.
Take me back to the incident. What happened?
I was just a kid. We were walking down a wall, and my brother or something was behind me and just pushed me, and I ended up knocking my head on a brick. I don't remember it, but later on I was told about it. I have a little dent in my head, and apparently my brain works a little different.
All right.
I can look at a blank piece of paper and see an image. I don't know if everybody can do that.
That's very cool. That's very, very cool. All right. And I can't, and just from here, I can't see the dent. So I think you're all right. I think you've recovered from that.
Yeah, I'm one of the lucky ones.
So Frankie, he's going to be teaching as well, right? He's going to be part of the Sawdust Art classes?
Yes, we are getting him on the schedules very soon. He's going to be teaching sculptural ceramics.
Ooh.
I'm quite excited about that. I did send you a picture of that really cool car.
You did?
That we had posted in our ceramics booth for a long time. And Ryan's really skilled at ceramics. I mean, he doesn't exhibit in ceramics, but he's actually really quite skilled at it, especially sculpturally. And with hand building and,
Right. For 10 years I made ceramics with a group. We were called Our Gang, and we made what we call pottery with personality.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And all of our ceramics had some sort of character to them. Right. Recently just made a miniature Ark of the Covenant because it was a challenge. And I saw it on TV and I thought, I want to be one of those, you know? So I did one.
I kind of want to throw in there when he just says that casually, that he just made that casually. I'm sure it's identical. I'm sure it's a replica that is identical in whatever medium you did. Yeah. That's one thing about Ryan is that he can replicate things perfectly.
Wow. So as you teach the ceramics class, are you a patient teacher, or are you how do you go about teaching others a craft that you've, you know?
Well,
expert at it.
I don't know. I guess it sort of comes naturally. They call that what you call self-taught or whatever it is. But I just have a natural inclination. Things interpret through me just naturally. I don't really have to think about it. It just happens.
Right.
I'm actually amazed. Sometimes I'll be watching my hands, and it's like watching two little people working. Somehow they know what to do.
Right. Like almost an out-of-body experience with your own hands.
Yeah, you know, it's like I'm an observer, and my hands just seem to already know what they're doing.
That's pretty cool. So I want to go back to the Our Gang name for your group that you did. So who was Spanky and who was Alfalfa in this thing?
That was a good... That's pretty funny because we were all in high school together. And
right.
What was strange was, you know, I was pretty much already sort of the hippie artist. And my partner, who came in later, was actually the quarterback for the football team, so we were very different. But after he went to Europe after high school, he came back and was just looking for something to do, and he found me. I had bought his old potter's wheel for some reason. He injured his knee, and they had him throw pots because of the kick wheel exercise for your knee. And so he entered in a different way than I did, and we ended up with a partnership And we looked at each other and looked at all our friends who were working with us, and we looked like our gang. So we were looking for a name, and we went, well, let's just call it our gang, because we look like Spanky and the whole crew. And I was pretty much Spanky. He was Alfalfa. We had a character for each person.
I love that you did.
Yeah, it worked out great.
So, Frankie, when can we take Ryan's class? When specifically
Ryan
is he?
Ryan will be on, trying to lock down some dates, but we're in the next few weeks. He will be added to the schedule.
Okay, and we have a schedule up for this week?
Yes, we have classes every single weekend. Okay. This weekend, of course, we have glass blowing, mixed media, fused glass. I believe we also have an after dark class on Friday with Lisa Rainey.
Okay.
And then also coming up, we have our Landscapes in Glass with Sean Poschel. That is also coming up. I think that is her last session that she'll be having for that. And then also right around the corner is our Introduction to Mosaics with Ron Shearer.
Okay.
So we have some really exciting things around the corner.
Fantastic. Mm-hmm. And Ryan, we'll look forward to your classes as well. And we look forward to everything. We'll look forward to everything you put out from, you know, I'm not kidding. Where can our listeners go to not only see your stuff, but maybe buy your stuff other than walking into Sawdust?
I think it's pretty much
Sawdust, about it. Okay. I mean, I don't really have, I used to have a gallery in town. We did a gallery also called Sherwood Gallery. It's my middle name. And it became pretty popular for years. We ran a gallery where people would come down here just to go to our gallery because it was so wild. And again, we were representing people who couldn't get in the other festivals. So we collected them all together in our gallery became quite a feature. And it ran for about 20 years. But right now, you can call me up. I'm local. People know how to find me.
Okay.
What's your booth number, Ryan? I know we're 3 months out. 54?
514? I don't know. I'm not sure.
There's a
five
in it.
My booths at this point.
It's in the 500 block. So I know we're not open yet, but we open in 3 months.
Right.
Tickets are actually going on sale this week. If you can get your tickets in advance, and be sure to come down and see Ryan this summer. He's located on the back wall in the Upper Mesa 500s.
And will the classes go through summer, or will they stop summer starts?
So our Sawdust Art classes will continue throughout the summer.
Beautiful.
During the summer, though, because we have our festival classes offered during the day, our festival classes are complimentary with admission. Sawdust Art classes will offer after dark sessions with wine included.
Beautiful, mm-hmm. Beautiful.
That sounds like fun.
It does.
It does, doesn't it?
This was fun. Ryan Gourley, it was a pleasure to meet you today. I can't tell you how glad I am you made the trip in. Thank you so very much.
Thanks.
Thank you, Ryan. I know you're shy.
Well,
we really appreciate
it. I like
getting
up early.
I'm shy too, so I love doing this with you. Thank you so much.
You both did amazingly, and I thank you very much. Frankie Duchesne, Director of Marketing and Sawdust Art Festival Historian, and Ryan Gourley, the history of the Sawdust Art Festival. Go check them out. Thank you very much, both of you, for coming in this
morning.
Thank you so much. All right. 8:21 the time.
My friend calls me Laguna Man.